Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, all over, mostly StarsCast. But a lot of people know me as Natalie, and I started off when I worked for America Online. I was called CB Natalie, believe it or not. I didn't even have StarsCast yet because I didn't have my sites. But anyways, we have a great show. We have a couple, a dynamic duo, as I like to call them, that work together and just got back from a vacation in Hawaii. How exciting, huh? But anyways, I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on. Of course, the new February issue will be up tomorrow of both the flip e-zine and the text version. The flip e-zine is already done. And now today I'm finishing up the text one, and everybody says, why are you doing both? I have help to do the flip, but the text one is because I've been up 25 years, and can you imagine the content that's in there and all the keywords and all the links, and we just didn't see any sense in taking it down and not doing it. I could have done it that way, but, I mean, it's extra work for me, but everybody should know that I love doing this. I love, you know, interacting with all the authors, the publicists, everybody that I know all over the world. It's really a great job, if you want to call it a job, but it's fun. I really like it. So that'll be up. They'll both be up tomorrow. Lots of good stuff. Sometimes I have contributing people that are every month. They'll send me something every month, and I'll put it in. And sometimes not. Sometimes they take a break. They go away, vacations and whatnot. But usually it's a lot of the same people that have been writing for it. Oh, some of them have been 12 or 13 years, believe it or not. And when I first started the magazine, I would beg people for work, for stuff. Can you send me something? Just do a little article. Just make a poem. Do something. I mean, and just send me a picture. I don't even think I added pictures then. But then I realized people like to look at images because it's better for them. But then pretty soon, it took quite a few years. It wasn't really until we put the site up like it is right now. It was something more. It was very simple before. Now it's very complex. It's got databases, and it's a big job. But I had my webmaster. We worked together, and we came up with something really nice. And now I just get every day. I guess even like today, I guess, can I go be in your magazine? Which is really, it makes me feel really good because it means that it's of value. Everybody says, why do you do this? I mean, because I don't get paid for this. Why do I do it? Because it gives me a chance to bring all the beautiful people to you, to see what they are, to see who they are, to see what they've done. Otherwise, you may not even know they exist. So it's kind of like out to the world. And tomorrow, my gal Judy will post it, every single article. She'll take it and post it on my social media. That's her job. That's what she does. And so everybody will be all over the place. You will be all over the place. So see, and you know, when I started this, there wasn't Facebook. There wasn't Instagram. There was just the internet. That was it. Now look at it. Now it's just a whole big world of stuff. But anyways, that's what's going on with that. And then also my Stars Psychic, Stars with a Z, you heard my friend Kim do the commercial. It's undergoing some changes. We will be adding phone readings. Tony's got that in the works right now. And I'll probably have about 30 phone readers, well, they've already applied, that want to do phones. Now they want to do the chat, which is kind of great for me because the chat – I started back 13 years ago. And, you know, everybody says, oh, just get me in there. No, you can't just get in there. You have to see what it is. So they'll be doing that, and I have interviews. And today's been a busy day. But anyways, let's get on to my beautiful guests, and I think they're both with us right now, I'm assuming. It doesn't matter. I'll just talk to one of them, and then the other one will chime in. My guests today are Joyce and Barry Vissel. I'm sure you pronounce it that way. This couple is just amazing what they've done. I mean, they started sending me things in email, and I wasn't putting it in the magazine. And then I wrote them back, and I said, you know, why don't you send stuff to me every month, because they do anyways, and how about I put it in the magazine? And that's how it began, and they've been writing for it for quite a while now. And like I said, they just got back from a beautiful vacation, I'm sure. But anyways, let's bring in my guests, Joyce and Barry Vissel. How are you today, guys?
Hi, Natalie.
We're doing well. You know, we've been writing our articles for over 40 years.
Oh, my gosh. Longer than
I
me.
I know. Yeah. And we've never missed a month.
I know.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well,
I
you know, it's, and people don't realize, but I do, it's quite the job. I mean, you have to see, I have three monitors going right now, but you should see between the one site that I have and the magazine and the blog, I do a blog too. So, but the blog is on the other site, so that's easy, but I have people that help. I could never do all of this myself. I mean, it's just too mammoth. It's just too many things to cover, and I have Planet Stars with a Z.com also. I mean, if I sit here sometimes, you know, and you probably do too, and you look at the stuff you've done and you think, how did we start all of this? And that's what I want to know. How did the two of you begin this venture? I mean, I know, Barry, you're an MD. You have an MD. Now, Joyce,
yes.
You're an RN, right?
Right.
Well,
yes.
What a combo.
We started,
I could call you both to my house and say, okay, Doc, what do we do? I would love that. Oh,
so,
my gosh.
So, Natalie, as you know, we start out through life thinking we're going to do one thing, and then life happens, and we get guided to what we really are called to do. So, yes, we started out in the medical field. I went into psychiatry after medical school and found that was really unfulfilling because I wanted to work with people's souls rather than their minds.
Minds. Exactly.
Yeah.
I understand that. And, you know, that job, psychiatry, you know better than I do, is a very complex thing. I mean, and it's not just as simple, well, I can do this for you and you're going to be better. No, it doesn't work like that. It's the mind is so complicated. So how did the two of you meet? I want to know.
Well, we met when we were 18 years old in upstate New York at a small college in Oneonta, New York. And it was just such a deep, deep love and connection from the very, very beginning.
Yeah, and it was a total miracle, as are most meetings and fallings in love. We actually, one of our 10 books is called Meant to Be, which tells miraculous stories of how people are guided to a partner, which is amazing.
Yeah, and sometimes it's to learn something. I mean, my late husband, was a teacher. He wasn't a teacher at the time, but that's what he was going for. And he was a biology teacher. But I'll tell you, thinking about what you just said to me, you know, I met him. I mean, I've had so many careers, it's unreal. I was a beautician in Michigan. I did hair. And I did his cousin's hair. And she said, oh, I want you to meet my cousin. And he wasn't married. And so, you know, we went out with the couple, them, and it worked out perfectly. But you know what happened really is that I could always really type well. I mean, in high school, I did everybody's, you know, you get these big folders with all these things that you had to do. They hand them to me. We can't do this. You can do this. You have to. And it wasn't on an electric typewriter. It was on a regular typewriter, you know.
I remember that, Dave.
Oh, so you had to kind of, you had to turn the knob and line it. They were too lazy to do that.
Yes.
Not me. I did it. I did all the things.
Do you mind if I want to share this? You know, our latest book, which we're partly going to talk about, is called A Couple of Miracles. Couple more than a few miracles. It's basically our story, and it's just quite an amazing story because we were guided to be together, but I wanted to go to a different college than Joyce was going to. So from high school, I had to be rejected by every single college. and then with no place to go in my senior year of high school, a mystery man who actually I believe was an angel showed up at our high school, and he first, I was called into the office by the principal, and this man told me about Hartwick College in Oneonta, New York, and pulled a pen out of his pocket and said, if you'd like to join us in the fall, sign down here. And he pointed to the table. There was an application for admission to Hartwick, all filled out with my personal information.
Oh.
And I stood there as an 18-year-old thinking, well, obviously colleges go around to high schools and find kids who didn't get in anywhere else and sign them up. I wasn't even a good student. And I just figured, hey, this is what's happening. I signed, and I was going to Hartwick, and I needed to go there because Joyce was there. But meanwhile, I tried to find out who this man was to thank him for recruiting me. And Hartwick said, never in their whole history have they recruited anyone. Never. And so we never knew who that was. They didn't know. The high school didn't know. Nobody knew.
Well, and two, you know, I think, Barry, the path that you were about to go on together, it was necessary for you to be together. And sometimes it happens. I mean, I've heard of stories before, and look what you've done. Oh, my gosh, 10 books, you're amazing.
Joyce,
you met her. You went there. But
yes.
Did you... marry right away, or did you just finish college, or what?
So Natalie, first of all, we're exactly the same age, the two of us, and I was born in Buffalo, New York, and it's a very good family that I was born into, but they really honored the intellect and getting good grades, things like that, and I was I could do that, but I also was very, very sensitive, and I was feeling things that the rest of the family wasn't feeling. And I felt really lonely and like almost like an alien, like I didn't fit here on the earth. And I was always, whenever I would cry, I was always told to go to my room to have my feelings by myself. And one of these times I was 9 years old and I was just crying. I felt like no one would ever understand me. And I had my first divine experience, and it wasn't like I saw an angel or bright light appeared or like a big loud voice that someone else could hear, but it was a very clear message that came to me in my heart, unmistakable. And the message was that right now there's a boy growing up, and he will understand how to hold you when you cry.
How wonderful.
And you will recognize this person. He will be tall with dark hair, and he will be on his way to becoming a doctor. And that changed my young life, because then I knew that there was someone who would understand me. And of course, right. That person is Barry. He's Barry. He is tall. He has dark hair. And when I met him, he was a pre-med student. So I feel like we were definitely meant to be from the time we even came here to the
Earth. You were little, right.
Meanwhile, Barry, when he was 9 years old.
Yeah, I know. So interestingly, knowing this story about Joyce, I asked my mother if she remembered when I decided to become a doctor. And she said, it was the strangest thing. One day you were 9 years old and you said, I'm going to be a doctor. And that was that. And I never wavered, except for the thing that I wasn't a great student and had to be recruited by an angel to get to Hartwick College to meet Joyce.
Oh, divine intervention, all of it, divine planning, divine timing. It happens for some. It didn't happen for me. But I'm so glad that the two of you got together, because look at what you've accomplished. Oh, my gosh. So, okay.
Wait, Natalie. So, you know, you would think that was such a divine, how it was all meant to be, you would think that the things would line up perfectly. But it did not, because, you know, this was 1964. It was New York, and we, you know, 3 months into our relationship, I found out that Barry is Jewish, and I am not Jewish. I was raised in a Christian family, and Barry was raised, you know, it's not that far from the Holocaust and all the horrors of that, and Jewish people were raised knowing that their responsibility was to raise Jewish children. And that was a very deep thing that he got from his rabbi, from the temple, from his parents. And so to be with me, who I am not Jewish and I had no interest in becoming Jewish, it was a huge, huge conflict. And we tell people that even though, you know, people want everything to be so easy and they want everything to line up perfectly, but it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes a really, really good relationship will have to overcome a huge challenge. And this was, I mean, now it doesn't seem like such a big challenge.
Oh, I bet it still is. Don't you think so, Barry?
Yeah.
I think it still is. I think, and I understand that. I think, I respect all of that. I mean, yeah, you know, it's a Jew. I was raised a Catholic. and we were not, we knew about Jewish people, but we really, you know, your mother wanted you to marry a Catholic.
Of course. Of course. So this was a major, major wedge in our relationship.
Yeah.
We fought so much at Hartwick College that at the end of the year, in the yearbook, we were voted the couple least likely to succeed.
Eat your words now.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know,
wonderful.
You know, the thing is that not one person thought that it would work out. And everyone, our friends, of course our parents, discouraged us greatly from continuing the relationship. So we had, as very, very young people, 18, 19 years old, we had a lot to overcome in our relationship. And it's actually strengthened us very, very much.
Yeah, because we had to go on a quest to find what is spirituality, what's the deepest part of it. And we had to go from teacher to teacher, from different traditions and mystical paths, and we explored everything. And that was really important for us, because we found that common thread, that universal truth of the divine spirit, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's there. There's something bigger than us here on Earth. It's bigger. And we've been finding that ever since. And that's a gift, right? That's a gift.
It is. So did you, how did you finally marry? I mean, did you just run off or forego everybody else and say, well, you know, this is what we want? And what happened?
So what happened, first of all, Barry's mother set up an appointment with his childhood rabbi, and Barry's bar mitzvah. He is from a very traditional Jewish family, and his mother set up an appointment with the rabbi, and that was such a horrible experience for both of us because he did everything in his power
to dissuade you.
Everything. It was abusive, actually. And then I asked the minister at my parents' church, and he was a really beautiful man. And what he said to us, he said, I can see that you obviously love each other, and I will marry you on one condition, and that condition is that you honor your differences and that you understand that the differences are going to be one of your great strengths. So that man gave us a guidance that we desperately needed, and we went ahead and got married, and his words really came to be true, that the differences that we have, and in honoring them,
really your strengths.
Yes, exactly.
Now our parents, they came to the wedding. My mom, she sat in the front row and she cried the whole time. It felt a little bit to her like a funeral, but she came. and right before Joyce was ready to walk down the aisle, I was with the minister, and I noticed a cross on the altar, and I said, would you mind if we took down the cross? And he said, oh yeah, sure. Wasn't he? He was very accommodating. And so he took down the cross. My mom, Joyce's mom, saw it, ran up to find Joyce and said, Joyce, Barry had the minister take the cross down. It's not too late. You can back out of this wedding.
Oh, my God.
And that's how we started the wedding.
Yeah, we were only 22 years old.
I know.
And honestly, I think people were wondering how many years it would last.
Right.
No one really thought it would last.
Right. Yeah.
And I'd like to think that parents are different now. I mean, my son, of course, got married. I have just one son, a beautiful girl. But, you know, the other thing, too, about your parents, my mother was Italian. You only date Italians, according to her.
Yes.
I mean, it was pathetic when you think about it. I mean, I had a Greek guy I dated for a while, and then there was a Polish guy. And she didn't like the Greek one at all. She said, beware of Greeks bearing gifts. I said, oh, come on, mother, you know. And then, I met my husband to be. Oh, he was Italian. Oh, I like him. And I probably rolled my eyes when she said that. Of course you like him. He's Italian. You don't even know what he's about. I don't even know what he's about, you know. But isn't it strange how strict they were, how one-sided they were, that's how they were raised. That's how your parents were raised.
Exactly. But, you know, every parent has to go through something with their child. Every parent. Children put parents through, stretching to help them grow.
Yeah.
In fact, my mother, who had the hardest time with Joyce, probably in the last 20 years of her life or more, every time we would visit or she would visit, she would take me aside and she'd say, Barry, you know that Joyce is the best thing that's ever happened to you? And I'd say, yes, I do know that.
You know, see, she came around. So did my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was Italian also, though, see. I mean, you know, that it's just such a stigma. You, when I think about it, I mean, just she really didn't like me because she thought he wasn't going to graduate from college. But you know what happened? And this happened. I had to live with her for 8 months, so she was stuck with me, and I was stuck with her. But I followed her around, and I watched everything she did. I learned so much from her. I became her daughter. She had a daughter, but she told everybody, Linda is not my daughter. It's Natalie that's my daughter. And she told me, she said, she would fight with her own daughter. She never fought with me. I adored her. So sometimes it does work out. Sometimes it doesn't, though, you know. You've probably heard horror stories.
Yeah. Oh, of course, and that's our work. You know, our work is so much with single people and couples who are really suffering and having, you know, needing help.
Yeah.
So that's our work, and that's our whole nonprofit foundation, the Shared Heart Foundation, is really, it's dedicated to helping people and changing the world one heart at a time.
That's right.
That's our work.
And
that's
I know you
work.
Do a great job at it. So tell me about your latest book. I want to hear about it. I have some questions, but I want you to, both of you, to discuss how did it come to, I should actually ask you, how did you write your first book? How did that, I have a fairy tale in my head that I can't even get to the center of the book. I mean, it's just, I'm stuck. But you guys, you wrote it together, correct? The first book?
All of them.
Yes. Okay. So the first book, so we were doing counseling, working with couples, and we found that couples would break up. Sometimes the relationships or the marriage would only last like 3 months. As soon as there was a big conflict, they would break up. And we thought, you know, because we had this big major challenge that we went through with the religion, and we just felt that, you know, these problems and challenges that come, they're there to help a couple grow, and that if you work through it on the other side, there's more love. And that's how we would be in our counseling with the couples. And we found that we were telling the same stories over and over again. And we thought, you know, maybe we'll just write like a pamphlet, and we can hand out a pamphlet at the end of the sessions. Well, at that time, we actually were in counseling with Ramdas. I don't know if you know who he is, but he lived close to us, and he said, and he had written at that point quite a few very, very successful books, and he said, listen, I want you to write a book, and I will edit it for you, and I will tell you, you know, what needs to be expanded on. It wasn't a copy editor, but he was, you know, a content editor. And he did that. And, you know, that I only had one writing class, and that was in high school. And Barry never had a writing class.
Oh, my.
So we never had English classes beyond, you know, the mandatory high school English classes. We were not prepared, but we found with that book, it just flowed out of us so easily. And we'd send the chapter by chapter, we'd send to Ramdas, and he'd say, you know, this is good, you know, expand on this a little bit. And we did. It was, it took a long time because we had a little child. It took like 3 years, maybe, something.
Yeah.
We had a little child, and then we had a baby. So it, you know, it took a while to get that into a book form. But you know, that's absolutely been the most popular book of all. It just kind of,
that's the Shared Heart.
We went from complete unknown authors to, I don't know, it just was selling in all the independent bookstores, and yeah, it was kind of a bestseller. And it was wonderful.
Well, you know, I'm listening to you both. I want to say something. I'm listening to you both, And I know it wasn't easy for you guys. Some people do not experience this togetherness right away. Some people, I mean, my life was nothing like yours, nothing. And to hear two people talk like you are, I mean, it makes me feel really good. And it also should tell you that your paths, are, everybody's path is so different. Sometimes we have to, well, I don't know, sometimes we have to be thrown in the ditch, pick ourselves up, and go back on the road again. You know, sometimes it happens that way. And, I mean, I learned a lot from after I married my husband, but it was very rough for me. It was not, I mean, you two, you have all this between you, and I can feel it on the phone, you know.
Let me just say that suffering is inevitable, okay? And part of our new book, A Couple of Miracles, describes the depths of suffering that we've had to go through in the course of our being together. One of them was my having an affair, a sexual affair with Joyce's best friend, and Joyce being so traumatized and hurt that she left the relationship, she left the marriage, she walked away and left me completely alone. And it was in that time that I sunk to the deepest depths of despair and realized something about myself that I was repressing. And it was that how much I had a little child inside me that needs love and needs Joyce's love. I was in denial of that and trying to prove to Joyce and trying to prove to myself that I didn't need love and I could, you know, have sex with whoever I wanted to.
But how old were you? You were probably a very young guy, right?
Well, yes, this was 7 years into the relationship.
Well, three years of being married.
Yeah, so we were 25 years old.
Yeah.
But what actually helped to bring us back together was the fact that I learned why I had the affair. And I, for the first time in my life, I understood what it was to really need love. I didn't know that. And I was able to communicate that with Joyce. But still, it took 2 years to really work through all of it, right? The pain of it.
Yeah.
So, and that's all of that is in the new book. You know, it's the suffering that brings about sometimes the deepest growth.
Yeah, and it you know, that experience, was the most painful thing of my life.
Of course it was.
It allows, like, when couples come and sit with us, we understand their pain because we've been there. And I think if you're trying to help someone and you don't understand pain, you really can't help another person.
No, you can't.
We really understand pain, and you know, not only, I mean, that was really painful, and also, and we have three children, but between after the first two children, I was pregnant, and that pregnancy ended in a stillbirth of the baby, and that was really painful too, and the two of us had to work through it, and we had to work through it with our children.
So your road was very, without stumbling blocks. It wasn't just a smooth ride all the way. And it's kind of good to know because, you know, people look at you now and say, wow, look at this. Yeah, but it was not without things that happened, you know. I prefer not to go back to what happened to me. It was not really nice for me, and it didn't. But But when I, but you know what I do? I'm telling the two of you this. I like to remember what he was, not what he became.
Oh.
Yes.
He became a monster. Yeah. He was a monster. He was awful. But now, it's been 12 years, but now when I talk to my son, and we'll talk about it, and he'll say, Mother, he was never very nice to you. And I said, but yes, but there was a time before that when you were a little boy when it seemed to be good. And I said, that's what I choose to remember. I'm not, you know, people ask me to talk about what I'm not going to do it. I don't want to go back there because it was awful for me. I almost died. I almost got killed. And so I prefer to remember what he was, not what he became, because he was a beautiful man in the very beginning. He was, you know, a teacher, very smart, taught me, encouraged me to type more, and taught me how to use my first computer. I mean, if he's looking down now and seeing what I'm doing, he's probably thinking, oh, my God, look at this. Look at her. But you know what? You'll probably hear this in a couple of sessions. Sometimes you don't hear it from that person, but they'll tell somebody else how great you are. I never knew that. Other people would say to me, oh, he bragged about you all the time, but he never told me that because he was he had two personalities, that's why. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm free of that now, so to speak. I don't – it's okay. But and I stand tall for what I did, what I had to do. So, but you two worked through all of this, came out on the other side, still together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though you probably wanted to strangle each other.
So Natalie, I mean, the same is true of us. Like what you're saying. I don't think about that affair that Barry had.
No.
But the thing is that we grew so much, and there were so many gifts that came to it, and that's what we remember is the gratitude of how that experience caused us to grow and how it caused us to become closer as a couple. And I think it's really important not to look back on your life and think and have resentment. That doesn't help at all.
You can get through it because I'm alone. I don't have anybody in my life. Yes, that can be painful. Yes, because you get older and then nobody even thinks about, oh, she's too old to have somebody in her life. Well, I don't even go there. I don't even bother with, you know what I'm saying? I think I came out on the other side the way I was supposed to be. And I to tell you the truth, I don't think there is a man out there that would be worthy of me, because I've been there, done that, back and forth, up and down. No. And you know what? I will never have a man tell me what to do.
Oh,
you see, that's how I came out of this.
Of course.
You know,
yeah,
so he'd have to be close to sainthood.
Okay. You know this, but I want to remind us all that the most important relationship is not with anybody else. It's inside. It's how we love ourselves. It's how we're kind to ourselves.
I know, but Barry, you know, sometimes that's really hard to do. When you're alone and you don't have anyone that cares for you or cares about you as much as you would like a person in your life, like my son cares about me, but he's got a family. So there isn't anyone.
Yeah.
I have nobody. And I start to see that more and more. And I mean, I care for so many people. I mean, I let them know, but they don't do it for me. Maybe because they know maybe they think I don't need it. And I probably don't, I guess. I don't know. But it can be very, very crushing when you're alone all the time. But thank goodness now I do have something. I have my magazine. I meet people like you. I have a radio show that I do every week. I have my other site where I've got umpteen people applying that want to work for me because I'm so wonderful that they've heard on the Internet. Well, I mean, I'm a good boss, yeah. But you see, you have to – sometimes you just have to c- kind of have other things come into your life that'll take that emptiness that's there. You know what I'm saying? So, but it doesn't always work all the time. I sob about it a lot. I really do because I ask God, why am I here? I know I'm of service to you, and I really love doing that, but what about me? So then I just, you know, you do that. But you know what I have? I have the animal kingdom. I have deers. I have ducks. I have squirrels. I have birds. That, and I feed them all. And my son laughed at me. I said, you see, they know what love really is. They're not going to go and try to run you over. They're not going to try to do anything to you. Now, the deer could because they're really big. But you know what I'm saying? You just have to replace it or have it fill that space that maybe you think is a void. But, of course, they don't hold me. And Natalie doesn't cry. She sobs. So I don't think – and my husband hated that. He would leave the room. He hated it. So I never had that.
Yeah.
So I honor the two of you. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so beautiful to know that what you've been through and you've come out of this, I mean, like on top of a mountain to me.
We're still a work in progress, even after 59 years. You know, there,
that's okay.
It's relationship, you know, yes, we have, yes, we're 77. We're celebrating so many fruits of our love. But it's still, when it comes down to it, the real thing is not about being loved by Joyce for me. It's about being loved by God. It's about feeling the presence of divine spirit and angels and being. That's really the bottom line for our lives, to know that we're not ever alone.
Well, I talk to God every day, every morning and throughout the day. I'm always saying something, you know, just, you know, open some doors for my business. I'll go through them. You know, I can do just about anything. And so I just kind of put that out there, and then I wait, and pretty soon somebody will contact me or something happens. But you got to let it go. You can't dwell upon it and say, okay, God, well, I asked for this. Where is it? In God's time, it's not written in a piece of stone, you know, on a stone tablet that on whatever date this is going to happen. Yeah, and that's part of the whole thing, is that you'll be surprised.
Yes, it is. But what we've learned, it's so important to ask for help.
I do every day.
From the divine source. And there's the thing, you know, I often forget. You know, we often forget that there's an abundant source of help. I want to give a little practical story about this, okay?
Please. Oh, please. We have time, yes.
Some years ago, we used to have a sailboat, and I had this dream of sailing Lake Tahoe, which is in the Sierras near us here in California. And so I brought the sailboat up there. I had the dream of going out in the lake and you know, anchoring next to some remote beach and sleeping on the boat. So when I got there and I started going out on the lake, and it's a big lake for those who know Lake Tahoe, there was not even a breath. There was not even a breeze, which is rare. So I was actually in the middle of the lake without any sail power. I had a little motor, so I figured, okay, I can get back using the motor. The motor would not start. Okay, so I was really stranded in the middle of this huge
with no wind to help you.
With no wind to help me. And I'm a handy guy, so I did everything I knew to get the motor working. I did everything. And then I kept pulling on that starter cord and pulling and pulling and pulling, and it would not start. And would you believe this? I exhausted myself and pulled on that starting cord until, for maybe an hour, until I was sore before I had the realization that I could ask the angels for help. So I stopped and I took a minute and just asked the angels to help me with this motor. 1 minute. And then I pulled on the cord and the engine started. And I kind of smile at this, and I kind of have an image of the angels, you know, watching me and saying, you know, one of the angels is saying, "Hey, is he still pulling on that starter cord?"
Yeah, right.
Yep.
All he has
yep.
to do is ask.
And the angel saying,
"I can see it too."
Has he asked for help yet? Not yet. Not yet. Still,
God,
he's still
stubborn.
Pulling. He's still pulling. But that's all of us, you know. We're
true.
We keep pulling.
We'll just dig ourselves in that hole until it's so deep instead of saying, "Can somebody help me out of this?" Yeah, we do that, though, don't we? And we don't call upon the divine or whatever you believe in enough.
Yeah.
My site, the one site that pays for the whole thing, was really doing bad back in the fall. And I talked to my son. I said, "I don't think I'm going to be able to keep this." And that it just was crushing me because I've worked so hard, the magazine 25 years, and I felt that I would disappoint so many people. So one morning I got up and I said, "Okay, here's a thing for you up there. How do I get out of this? Just show me the way. I'll go there. I can go any. I can do anything. I really can." And so that evening, one of my readers called me. "Listen to this." She said, "I have an idea." And I thought, "Oh, God, what is this?" I didn't say, "Oh, God." I thought, "Okay, let me listen to it." And she told me, she says, "I want you to do phones on your site." And I had thought about it many years ago. Now, this is great to go in line with what you just did on that water. I said, "Phones?" I said, "Oh, I tried that and blah, blah, blah." And she said, "No, are you sitting down?" And I said, "Yeah." She says, "I have talked to 30 or more phone readers that want to work for you." I said, "Why?" "Well, you're very famous on the internet, you know, for being of top drawer, top quality. You're fair, you're loving, you're kind, and you're so spiritual that where they're working now, they get mistreated, they don't get paid on time, blah, blah, all the stories, right?" So I said, "Well, let me think about it." So I thought about it, and you know, the more I thought about it, I thought, maybe this is an answer to my dilemma, that question that I had earlier. I mean, it's taken some time now, you know, and all of a sudden, it became clear to me, you know, you need to expand, but you see, it's not like the same in your world, because my world, the competition, they have so much money, they don't know what to do with it. They can buy anything they want. So a little guy like me has to work even harder because I am not wealthy. I'm surviving, but it's okay for me. So it takes money to buy ads. It takes money to do this and that. This, because of all the experience and because they're, listen to this. She said they're all willing to pay for the ads that you need to get. All of them. You tell them how much you need a month, and they're going to pay you. And I almost fell off my chair because I kept thinking to myself, now how am I going to afford all this, right? You know, and then, but it leveled itself out. It cleared the way. And she said because she meets with all of them, she knows them all, and they're all in this text together. You know, they talk together. And she said, they all said, "Tell Natalie to do what it takes, we'll pay for it." That's how much they want to work for me. And I said, "You're kidding." She said, "No." She said, "You don't hear yourself." She said, "You don't know what you are." I said, "I'm just me." "Nah," she said, "you don't see what other people see in you. You are the hope. You are the light. You are the one. We're going to bring this to the top." And then she says, "I probably can get you 100 of them because they're all disenchanted." But you see what happened, Barry and Joyce, is that it's not about money all the time. Sometimes you finally reach a point, it's how you're treated. How am I treated? Am I treated well or like just a little number on a piece of paper? I don't treat you like a number. And so that was my answer.
Yes. And
Natalie, you must have felt so grateful.
I did, because after I hung up with her, you know, I kind of looked up and I said, you really came through this time for me, and I want to thank you. And I said, I know I'm blessed. And sometimes when I say, why am I here? I kind of walk out of the room, and then I walk back a little bit, and I'll say, I know I am here. I am to be of service for you.
Yeah.
And I've always known, I've always been of service my whole life. And I'm not going to change.
And that's
a good thing.
Yeah. Natalie, that's the key. You know, when you're of service, you're fulfilled in life. Then that makes us light workers. You know, we're wanting to bring more light to this planet, and we will be supported because of that. If we're willing to commit to helping on this earth, we will always be helped. We will always be supported.
Yeah. And you're doing such a beautiful, beautiful work, and you're reaching so many people. It's really remarkable.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It means a lot to me coming from the two of you. Well, you know, I really was worried that I was going to, because if one went, the other one would. I mean, I could still keep the magazine, but I would have to pay for everything myself, and I'm not having fun at doing that. And it would have been too much for me. And, you know, I'm just going to get my registered name for Star Psychics, Your Future Awaits. It took me almost 2 years to get that with the government, but that's coming through now. I should get the paperwork any time now that it is a done deal. I can put R beside it. And then I think to myself, all that was for nothing. You did all that for nothing. No, then I'm talking to myself, no, you didn't do that for nothing. No, God doesn't work like that. He doesn't set you up to fall. But you have to ask. You have to ask. You have to say, I need help. I can't do this by myself. I don't know what to do.
And remember that God is also she.
Yes, a she. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I look at God as a he. Because that's my Catholic training, though, don't forget.
Oh, so probably. So by the way, you know, we also, every single week, we film a 10 to 15 minute video, inspirational video, for anybody who wants a little extra inspiration, and that comes out on YouTube every single Sunday morning. So, you know, we love to be of service, and, you know, I want to make sure people know that they can get these videos, they can get our articles, everything is for free on our website, sharedheart.org.
I got that up right now. Yep.
Okay, sharedheart.org.
So we started doing the videos at the very beginning of the pandemic because we knew some people that lived alone and were really having a hard time. And we thought, well, you know, once a week we'll send out this inspirational little video. And we thought at the time we thought it would just go for a couple months. And then, you know, it went on and on, and the pandemic was over, and people could go and be in different places. And I thought, well, maybe it's time to end the videos. And so we sent out an email and said how much we had enjoyed it, and maybe it's time to end it. And people really complained. They said, why? It's part of it comes out Sunday at 8:00.
It's like going to mass every Sunday. I mean, they're hearing words. I mean, it's not like sitting in a church where you hear who's ever at the front of the church, but you know, this is different. This is right in your home. This is two people who really care about you. I mean, well, I'm not saying that a priest or a rabbi doesn't care about you, but he's got many to care about, and it's not you that he's talking to. He's talking to whoever's listening, but they can make themselves feel like you're talking to them. I bet you that's what they do.
I know people really feel that. I know it's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're dedicated to keep going. And honestly, each week, I'm more the one that shares the stories, and Barry will share like also a little bit, but he sings a beautiful song. He always sings this beautiful song.
Now this is on your site. Can they access this from your site also?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, there, yeah, there's got to be a
You just sign up and then you'll get the video every week.
But every week, I think oh my gosh, I've run out of things to say. I don't have any more stories.
Honey, we can talk up a storm.
there's always something.
Yeah.
And then we get these comments. People will say, "How did you know? That was exactly what I needed to hear."
Right.
Well,
right.
And you have to remember this too. If they tune in, there's something they need to hear at that moment in time.
Exactly. And I want to emphasize these videos are not for couples. They're for everyone. They're it's not about relationships. It's about living spiritually on this earth, right?
And sometimes
learning
it's difficult. Yeah.
Yes, learning the lessons we need to learn.
Yeah.
And that's what our book is about too. A Couple of Miracles. It's our story.
That's what you are. That's what you two are, you know. That's you. That's what you two are.
Yeah.
And listening to your story, I mean, Jackie who helps write up the show page for me, and she said, "Well, what do you think about today's show?" I said, "It's going to be wonderful. Are you kidding? I said, "You can." She'll send me all these little questions and think, "Jackie, you don't even have to do that. I'll just be talking to. I just know what they're about. I just know." But she said, "She says you do that with everybody." I said, "Well, this is. I knew this was going to be easy. I knew this was going to be heartfelt. I knew it was going to make everybody feel good." And you know, my gal Amber, she put out an ad for you guys today, I believe, or yesterday, on my social media. And I don't know who's listening. Unless they actually call in to talk. On my dashboard. But after the show, I will know how many people, they call it downloads, that have listened to the show. And I'm amazed because, you know, and then what I do after the show is done now, I wait for, it's got to be, you know, extrapolated so that I can pull it all. I'll go and put it on my social media, so it's always there. But they should tune in to you on Sunday mornings. Do they have to go? Let's explain to them. Do they have to go to YouTube to sign up to subscribe, or is there a place on your site that they can do this with?
You can go either one on our website, sharedheart.org. They can sign up for these weekly videos, or on YouTube, just type in our last name, which is Vissel.
Yeah, it'll come up.
It'll come up and.
Oh,
yeah,
wait a minute. I see you two. Is this you two in Hawaii with the lays on? Is that a recent picture?
That was actually our 25th wedding anniversary. So
awesome.
30 years ago. 30 years ago.
I've never been there. Do you like it there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's our secret spot. We go every year and hide out and just really enjoy.
But you know, I also wanted to share about the videos. They come out at 8 o'clock on Sunday, but people watch them throughout the week. You know, most people don't watch it at 8 o'clock.
Well, right, and right now there's over 200 of our videos on YouTube.
They can just type in your last name, and they can get it that way. And I'm just so thrilled. I mean, it probably would help me. So long as it's not at the end of the month when I'm doing the magazine and pulling my hair out, now I got all these people that I have to interview. 30, I've got 29 more to do. But you know what? But you know the best part about it is I get to meet more people.
Yeah,
you know, and they all wonder, well, why does she have to talk to us? Because I want you to hear my voice. I want you to know I'm real. And I want you to know how much
real.
I care. I am real.
Yeah.
I'm a force to reckon with sometimes.
You are.
You're really good at what you do.
You know, I really love what I do. You know, I had a man on here he's a motivational speaker. He said, "I don't have to motivate you." And he said, I bet you'd be good in front of an audience. I said, "Oh, no." Mm-mm. He said, "You would switch shoes. You'd slip into those shoes on the stage." He said, "You'd be really good." I'm telling you, you'd be really good. I've seen it. You got it. But, of course, I don't do that. But, yeah, I do. I do love what I do, and I'm passionate about it. But you see, you want people to know that, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, when I was thought I was going to lose everything, I would have lost the shows, too. I would have lost the radio, too.
Sure. Do we have time for one last thing?
I signed you up for 90 minutes. You have all the time in the world.
Oh, okay. We actually have to leave right now. We have appointments, but I want to encourage everyone who listens to do something to help this planet, whatever it is, to bring more light, to be of service in some way, to reach out to a friend. You know, anything you do is going to bring joy to yourself and to the world.
Exactly. And I'm so honored to have you both with me and to hear your story of love and triumphs and 10 books. And their latest book is A Couple of Miracles, One Couple More Than a Few. I think the two of you I see you sitting on a mountain. I told you that already. I see you sitting on a mountain. And that to me is like accomplishment as a couple. As individuals, you are there. I don't know where in the world I am. I'm probably up higher than you. I'm sorry. I'm not on any stupid mountain. No. I don't know where I am.
You're floating in the clouds.
I am. I have one Jewish man, believe it or not. He lives in Jerusalem. He calls me his big, beautiful, white, winged lady. He told me when he was on my radio show, he said, you know you're an angel? We talked about Jerusalem because I always felt I was with Jesus. He said, do you know that? And I said, I have a side to me that's not real nice. He said, when do you ever use that side? I said, if it would be protect my granddaughter or my son, I would use it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But I don't ever have to, you know. But I have loved talking to the two of you. It's been so wonderful and so much success. Yeah. And keep sending me your beautiful stuff now. And don't forget, everybody, their site is sharedheart.org. You have a beautiful rest of your day, and I love you both very much. You know that. You get it in my emails all the time how much I love you guys.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you very much, Natalie. Yeah,
thank you, Natalie. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
Everybody, I want you to, I'll be on next week, of course, with another great guest. It'll be an hour earlier, but I want to end the show like I always end my shows, and that is, believe in things you cannot see, they really are there. And with that, I'll say lots of love to all of you, and it's a beautiful world. Go outside and look. Bye-bye.